This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. To let me know, should I stay or should I go?
If you say that you are mine, I'll be. We kick off hour number two. Appreciate you guys sending in. So we talked about the positions earlier as Tennessee landed an interior offensive lineman. Somebody said, hey, wasn't Cooper Mays a center? And yes, he was. So they used to have an OC for center.
OC.
Uh-huh.
Not just C.
Right.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Well, shouts out to all those changes for seemingly no reason. Got some bad news in the metal tracker.
Uh-oh.
They tied us. They caught us. 68-68, China and United States, and they are whooping tail in gold, up 10.
Mm.
Very sad. Things you hate to see.
I thought when the track and field started, we would.
Well,
there must be other stuff going on. There was a guy. They ran the 100 the other night. Did you watch it?
No.
Or see a highlight? Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, it used to be just Usain Bolt. It was a huge deal. And they're about to run the 100, and I'm like, I just don't feel like this is big, like, the same anymore. And they're going through the guys. And I remember on FanDuel, before the heats even started for the 100, I feel like there was an American guy that was, like, the favorite, and I don't even think he was in the final.
In the 100?
Yeah, so, like, he didn't make it through the semis or something, I guess.
I suppose.
And there were still a couple. I think still two American, at least one American, but I think two. And then there was an Italian that grew up in America. He won the race. But there was a Chinese guy that was like one of the favorites there too. I was like, they're beating us at everything.
Well, isn't that I don't want to get like sniped for this, but don't they basically just train from birth there, and like that's your job because they can do that.
I remember they talked a lot about that when they had the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah, like
yeah,
the gymnasts and the swimmers and divers. It was like, oh yeah, they wasn't there one year where I think it was China got accused of having like 13-year-olds in the Olympics or something like that.
Mm.
Like athletes that weren't old enough to compete.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that.
I thought I remembered that.
I remember them saying though that like, you know, they identify kind of what your gift, your talent is, and then that's just what you do.
Like your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a communist country, so they pay you and your family to make sure that you're training for the Olympics. Fascinating stuff. A little bit of an advantage. Would make sense to, you know, look at the medal count and say, I still want to know who sent the most people. Like, what nation sent the most athletes to the Olympics this year? I'm going to guess China, but I'm really not sure.
I don't know.
Well, we mentioned this earlier. Has it officially been debunked now, Dave? Like, Clemson and Florida State asking into the SEC was fake?
So it's at least been disputed. I only saw one guy put it out there that this is what happened, and then some other outlets ended up tweeting about it, but they just credited it back to the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, Clemson has come forward and said that there's no truth to this. These rumors are unsubstantiated, and I haven't seen any more as it relates to Clemson and Florida State reaching out to the SEC in regards to joining the conference. So at this current time, I'm under the impression that that is just not true.
I'm trying to – Texas and Oklahoma, we talked about this when I had my value ranking. I mean, they're both in the top five. So adding them as far as, you know, strengthening the SEC, both from an athletic and financial standpoint, it made a lot of sense. As far as ACC teams, you got to go down this list. Clemson's 26th nationally. Florida State 27th as far as team value.
Yeah, I personally – as I've talked about, would like to see that super conference kind of come about. I don't know what it doesn't make sense financially right now for the SEC to have Clemson and Florida State join.
Unless there's
a bigger prop.
I could make the argument for Clemson because you're going to have them in the playoff more than likely. You know, worst case, like, what, 3 out of every 4 years based on how they're kind of going right now? So it is another revenue share as far as playoff. Florida State feels like they're a pretty long ways away.
And they're with us.
Yeah. The only other one I saw that was being mentioned, and I think the SEC would jump on it if possible, would be Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying Notre Dame's interested. I'm just saying
you would get from a TV market standpoint.
Oh yeah, it's
ridiculous. So many more people wanting to jump in on like having the SEC network. But yeah, the biggest thing.
I was wrong, by the way. Texas is number one. Oklahoma was 7. Notre Dame is 5. So that'd be if you added Notre Dame, that means you're adding 3 out of the top 10.
So the only two schools you wouldn't have in the top 10 would be Ohio State and Michigan.
Correct. Which they're never going to be in anything called the SEC. So
yeah, I mean, at that point, it's like you're just getting rid of the SEC name, and you're just having this is the college football conference.
These are all the teams.
This is just
the good teams.
CFB1. Yeah. Whatever.
So,
I mean,
getting those schools to vote Clemson and Florida State in, like the other institutions that are already a part of the SEC, now you'd have to have 75%, so you'd need at least 12 out of the 16 teams to vote in favor, but I don't see their revenue share increasing by adding those schools at the current state.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, historically, yeah, Florida State, great program. I don't feel like they have a huge fan base, you know, like a national following. And Clemson's kind of, I guess I'd call them college football new money. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have the, you know, the reach. Certainly not that, you know, like a Notre Dame would. I just hate Notre Dame. I really don't want them in the conference. I hope that never happens.
Oh, I would love that.
Of course you
would.
Why
don't you want Notre Dame?
I just don't. I got something against them. I think it's just the way I grew up.
It's just
my dad hated Notre Dame.
Just the prestige of that school would be a nice addition. It's like adding Vanderbilt, but a Vanderbilt who can actually win and compete on the national level.
No, it's true. I mean, I'm not knocking. It's kind of, I don't know where this comes from.
Would they get better or worse if they were in the SEC?
Slightly worse.
Yeah, they'd get worse. I don't know. I mean, they've recruited pretty well, all things considered. And if you open up that SEC footprint a little bit more, I mean, they're already, you know, they got Prince Colley last year, 4-star linebacker that Tennessee slow played.
I think every team gets worse outside of Clemson if they join the SEC. But, I mean, getting worse in the SEC is still probably more impressive than going 11-1 in the ACC. Like, you come in here and go 10-2, 9-3.
Well, that's the thing. Like, by bringing Texas and Oklahoma in, everybody wins. Like, the SEC will make more money. Every school will make more money, including Texas and Oklahoma, because just the pot gets bigger. But if you bring in, you know, Clemson and Florida State, I think it helps them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't help
everybody.
Exactly. It doesn't help everybody else.
It makes no sense. It's not fair for Texas and Oklahoma to make all the money in the Big 12.
And then have to give it away.
Share.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will tell you, I think Texas, if they don't get back here soon, within the next couple of years, I think they're going to have a rough future. And I don't
kind of like us.
They might not get back, you know, because it's going to be a lot easier to do it in the Big 12 than it is the SEC.
I don't know. Their brand power is one in which I think they'll be able to stay relevant.
Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've never been bad. Like,
yeah, but
like we've been
8-4 every year.
That's kind of what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, in the Big 12, the possibility is there for them to bust out and have an 11-1 season, 12-0 season. In the SEC, they're never going to have that.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like if the playoff expands, like you don't need to just be like, oh, yeah, this team's going 11-1. Like, it's eventually – because, like, I talk about it. Like, if you're going NFL light, when was the last time a team went undefeated? Like, even the best teams in the NFL typically go around 12-4, 13-3.
Well, it would be the – what was that – what year was that Dolphins team?
Well, 72 was the Dolphins team. The Patriots went undefeated and then
until
lost
the
to the Giants
right.
in the Super Bowl.
Thanks for reminding me.
So, yeah, sorry. I forgot
facts.
About your man crush. And
do facts offend you, Hickman? Is that what's going
no.
on? Oh, okay.
And so for people saying, like, oh, you're not going to have an undefeated team do it again, it's like, yeah, but I think that's good for the sport. I don't want to see a team go undefeated. Like, and occasionally, if you like say like once every 25 years, it happens.
I mean, yeah, I want my team to go undefeated, but that's why I said initially, like, gone is the undefeated season. We would have to then retrain our brains to what a truly successful season, you know, would look like.
Yeah, I mean,
if you go 10-2 regular season, make the playoff, and you know, make the final, that's a damn good season. Even though you know it says you lost 3 or 4 games at the end of the year.
Even with a 12-team playoff, you think 9-3 teams can sneak in?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would there ever be a situation where you could see an 8-4 team sneaking in?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is going to help, at least for some of the top-tier teams. Now, granted, you might look back and the bottom feeders, the parity might not be there, and you might have teams like Vanderbilt, Arkansas just never be able to contend. I mean, you've seen people talk about it, but it's
not in football.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you look at the English Premier League and you got Champions League. It's some of those teams you just know are never going to be able to get up there.
Until they do, like Leicester. Leicester City.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere. I mean,
But the point's just to make it, like, that's the point for the NFL. Just make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
Anything can happen
right
at that point. So that's what it's going to be for college football. I personally like that. But again, I get why people don't. But I've sat here and I've said it from the beginning. I want another NFL.
Well, people like the idea of saying that, of having a college team that's basically invincible. And you don't get that if you make all the best teams play each other a lot more often, because eventually somebody, you know, people are going to lose. And that's fine if that's the way you want it, but I understand the callback the other way. The USA had 657 Olympians, Japan 615, China 431.
That's incredible.
I got more questions about that. We'll come back.
431?
431, yeah.
And they are just kicking tail.
Quality over quantity, I guess.
I guess so.
Hour 2 continues live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Nice and cool in here today. Not too cold. Glad Houston hadn't gotten too crazy on the thermostat.
Whoa. Easy, easy.
But if he wanted to, he could, because Blue Water Climate Control has us all hooked up right here in Fan Run Studios. Hottest day of the year last week. Of course, the fan motor goes out.
Yeah, I blame ourselves. I mean, I sit here, I talk about the free home comfort audit. I'm sure that would also apply for a business. They could have come in and said, you know what, this fan's about to go out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and replace this motor. Do it now so you don't have to have W and, who was in here, Jacob was with him, right?
Yeah.
Taking their clothes off, answering the door with no shirt on. We got to be professionals. We could have done that. All we had to do was go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com or give them a call, 865-299-2290, the free home comfort audit. Where were you on that one? Kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I feel really guilty about that day. Like, we had to deal with a slightly annoying noise.
Right.
And then
it was just starting to get warm as we wrapped up.
I thought it went out like the minute our show ended. Like, I don't remember being slightly uncomfortable for a split second.
Yeah. It was about.
And then it just.
The like noise was probably it dying.
It was like, oh, yeah. No, it absolutely was.
It was like 78 degrees in here when I left.
When we left. I mean, I stayed out there for a little bit, but it was getting warm quickly.
Could you imagine the four of us in here doing the show shirtless?
No.
God. I wasn't going to come in.
They'd need crowd.
Wow, just like that, you just would have quit.
Just would have quit. Mm-hmm. The going gets tough. David quits.
Well,
you know,
are you serious?
Blue Water Climate Control.
If it was 95 degrees in here and I had to do a show on a Friday, yeah, I'm like, all right, fine.
Wow.
It's the middle of the summer. Football season's a different story right now. I was like, what the hell are we going to talk about?
It was a Thursday.
Wow.
Go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com.
Yeah, no, we were fine. It would have, had it not been fixed Thursday, it would have been a Friday show.
I got you.
I would have just let Hickman
it
run.
It would have cooled down overnight a little
Thank
bit.
You,
it would have been 95. Mm. Maybe, probably like mid-80s.
Go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Yeah, make sure they can take care of you with all your heating and cooling needs. Mainly cooling at the moment.
Yeah, not a lot of heating going on right now.
So, but Butch Jones wrote Wolf's up?
No, or? Wolves.
Okay.
But he can't Brian, say
he can't say
Wolf. It. He says Wolf.
Brian says we get the Wolves in a bowl game to finish the year in that 9-3 scenario.
I mean, they would absolutely do that, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. Like, if we go 8-4 and they go, how do you know? Why do you? I mean, it'd be an entertaining game.
The storyline's there.
The story. I agree with that.
Crazy things are bound to happen in that game.
Yeah, we got the book on Butch. We'd know exactly what to do.
I don't know. He might pull just one little last bit of that Butch magic he had.
Butch magic? What the hell are you?
You clearly didn't.
Josh Dobbs ain't walking through that door. Hickman, no Butch
what if he's
magic.
He's a top-notch dual threat quarterback this year.
He'll ruin it, like he always does.
No, or he could just be like Josh Dobbs and just carry Butch.
Do you know how lucky
he can motivate?
Do you know how lucky he got with Josh Dobbs? You know he tried to redshirt Josh Dobbs twice, and he was the best quarterback on the roster.
I'm not going to let you slander the best UT football coach I've seen in my lifetime.
I will slander if I damn well please. This is the guy who didn't want to give Alvin Kamara touches because he didn't want him to go to the NFL. Think about that. I don't want this guy to have a successful career until I'm done with him. That's ridiculous. He's a punk and a clown.
He had Jalen Hurd. That's why Kamara didn't get so many touches.
And then what did Jalen Hurd do? He said, I'm out. See ya.
Can you
later.
Blame the guy?
No, but that's my point. Butch Jones was a moron. A big old dumb idiot.
He fell on a helmet.
What a dope. Butch magic? Is that a thing? I don't think I've ever heard those words strung together in it. Butch magic?
Hey. What?
Give me one example of Butch magic.
38 unanswered. Butch magic.
That was Dobbs magic. That was Juwan Jennings magic.
Butch magic was the play before the drive for the Hail Mary where they inexplicably blew the coverage and hit a touchdown down the sideline.
That happened a lot under him.
Butch magic was Antonio Callaway and down the sideline again.
Tyree Cleveland.
Yeah.
Butch magic. Butch magic was not going for two when you had the win in 2015 after Dobbs played Superman. Butch ruined it.
Kicking a field goal from the half-yard line.
With that same Jalen Hurd that you just said is so good. Half-yard line against Oklahoma, we're kicking a field goal.
That's what the analytics said.
Not having the.
That is not what
the
analytics
said. That is not true.
You guys going to.
You're trusting his
people, Nate. You're going to argue with the analytics.
You're trusting Butch's chart.
Yeah.
Over.
I broke it down that Monday. We can do a pretty quick expected value calculation right now if you want to, Hickman. Take the percentage of teams that go for it on fourth and goal from the one, the percent that they score a touchdown on those plays. Multiply that by the whatever it is 6.97 points that you get because a little decrease there for the occasional missed extra point, and compare that number with the 0.99 chance you make the field goal or whatever it is times three. Guess which number's bigger? The first
going
one.
For it.
Yeah, going for it.
And if you
it.
Go for it and don't get it, you're putting them in a bad spot. Then maybe you get a safety and an extra possession.
You don't even have to factor that in. Basically, he turned down 4 points for three.
But the 3 points were guaranteed.
No.
That's why the chart.
Well, yeah, but you're either going to get 0 or 7, and the odds say it would have been between like 4 and 5, was your expected value. Something like that.
Hickman, you realize that game went to overtime, right? And that an extra 4 points would have been a pretty big deal.
An extra 1 point.
No, I know. Yeah.
Or.
Oh, yeah. I mean, either way. And if you hadn't gotten it then, if you had gotten stuffed, you would have known you needed it later.
Yeah.
So you would have played the whole game differently.
Baker Mayfield might throw a pick six right after the stuff.
He still would have been ahead.
Maybe.
Like I said, maybe you get a safety, get the ball back. You turn
maybe
7 points into nine.
Butch magic.
Maybe you still score Butch the magic. Seven after you get a stop and a punt with good field position. You still get your seven, and there's more time off the clock, and they don't have enough time to come back and tie you up and
think about
it overtime.
I just want to preface this by saying I don't like Butch Jones.
You just said he's the best coach I've ever seen.
In his lifetime.
True.
Like,
that's true.
He meant it.
But still, that's just sad.
Well, that's not his fault. Yeah. I mean, almost everything he said in this segment has been utterly stupid, but like,
You saw Lane Kiffin.
For 1 year.
Okay, but he's a better coach than Butch.
Yeah, for 1 year, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, you can at least look at the numbers, and, like, Butch's record was better in 15 and 16. Like, I by no means am going to defend Butch Jones, but I will back Hickman up on this claim that his best year of what he's been able to witness as a Tennessee fan does go to it being one of those Butch Jones years.
Davey, I'm aware of that, but Butch magic and...
Yeah, well, that's why I prefaced it by saying everything he said in this segment outside of that being his best year is utterly stupid.
He told me not to slander the best coach he's ever seen at Tennessee.
He's just trying to get under your skin at this point. But
and you're helping him.
No, I'm backing up one claim that he made, and that claim only.
I mean, my,
that he told me not to slander that guy?
No, I led into saying the fact that you got onto him for saying was the best coach that he's been able to see. Was
he, saw, like, he saw Lane Kiffin. You saw Fulmer a little bit, right?
Faintly, like one of the first games I can remember very vividly mm-hmm. was us losing to LSU in the SEC championship game.
That's a you saw an SEC championship
I,
team.
I was like six. I wasn't old enough.
You saw
to
Fulmer.
Care.
You saw Kiffin. I'm striking that from the record.
Yeah, and then the next season I got to watch us lose to who? Wyoming or was that two seasons?
That was on my birthday. Yeah, well, 08.
Once again, the curse, ladies and gentlemen.
Whatever.
Houston Crest.
We've won a lot of games on my birthday, punk.
What do you think our chances of scoring on fourth and goal from the one from the half yard line against Oklahoma are? Just give me a percent.
Oh, good. Probably 85%.
85%.
85 to 90.
Okay.
I mean, you gotta keep in mind it was Tennessee, so expect the unexpected, but a QB sneak should have got the trick.
So done. We'll go 0.8 times. What do you think the odds of us missing an extra point are? You know, with let's just say 6.9 points. I mean, we're gonna make 9 out of 10 extra points, right?
Yeah, I'd say 10% chance okay. we miss, maybe less.
So your expected points going for it, if we're 80%, which I mean that's a pretty high number, but I'll in the NFL there's 77% of fourth and ones, so you know not all of those are on the goal line, but still, so that's 5.52 points. 5.52 is greater than 3. It's that simple. Like that should have been. His chart was about going for 2 anyway in the postgame. I can't remember what he said about kicking the field goal there. Did he play the analytics card or did he say?
I didn't think he did. I think he just said we wanted to put points on the board because that was the first score, right? We didn't already have a touchdown. We got up, you know.
Yeah, I think that was the
first
score.
Didn't we do that twice, though? Settle for field goals like inside the 10-yard line twice?
If we did, the second one was not – it was not like from the one.
Yeah, I think that was the only time. Well – no, it was it was two plays that were. It was like Kamara was in the game, or was this completely different? The Kamara was in the game on like, was it third and goal from the
that,
one?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Or from the two.
Hurd was not in there. We ran Kamara. Yes.
And he got down to the half yard line.
Yes.
And then we kicked a field goal.
And we did not bring in the 6'4", 240-pound running back.
And I feel like there'd even been like a. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game. There was at some point, like, even a timeout or something down on the goal line, and Kamara came out instead of Hurd, where it's like,
what are you doing?
Like, he overused Hurd all over the field and then didn't use – I don't know, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Come back with more. Stick with us. Hour two, 3 and out. Welcome back to the Fan Run Studios. This segment brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com. Your local digital marketing gurus right here in Knoxville. Smartersearches.com for all the info. Yep, Maddie Mock. You're right, Hickman.
Yeah, they were ranked number 9 that year.
Mm-hmm.
Real in third, I do not remember.
I don't
that
remember that game
at
either. But.
And then was it the next year? Was it 14? That's when we beat them here, and it was freezing. In 14,
nah. That was 15, I believe. 15-16 season.
15 would have been back. Oh, would have been back there. And we lost 29-21 here. Was that James Franklin?
That was the no. That
no,
was,
he was
the,
later, right?
That was the game Hickman was talking about where
we faked
the field goal. Touchdown, but then just, I think we gave up a late touchdown or something. That was a tough year, man.
It's crazy to think about Missouri being ranked number 9th.
Yeah, 2014 was Tennessee 34, Arkansas State 19 in game number 2 after a big win over Chucky Keaton and Utah State in game 1.
Sox tweets in and says, after the Oklahoma game, I do remember this now. He said, we did 7 or 8 hours of analytics that told him to kick the field goal.
I did it in my head, 7 or 8 seconds.
Well, we have a chart. It's pretty common in football that we apparently didn't read.
I remember being so angry. I think it was my first real experience with being so invested in something where the person, the authority figure, was just blatantly lying with, like, facts, I guess, in a way, but then also with, like, statistics and then trying to say they did more work than it was even required to calculate that. It was my first just moment of, like, just boiling anger over just the stupidity of people trying to just lie to your face, and then they're using kind of like, I don't know, something that I at least have a little knowledge about. Oh, this is so.
Were you math mad?
I was infuriated.
That was good practice for today's world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Hickman's not wrong.
The UT students are not happy, Houston.
Why is that?
I got a DM just out of the blue.
Just now?
One of those ones. Well, I don't even know when. I saw it kind of before as the show started. One of those ones from somebody you don't follow that I a lot of times don't even see. Where it said, hey, just wanted to let you know. If you go to Instagram and check the comments here, you'll see the way the majority of the students feel over here. Not happy. Campus is going back to the mask.
Inside only.
Even if you're vaccinated, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's everybody.
I'll start a revolt.
When?
What happens if you don't wear one?
I guess you get removed from the building, told to leave, go home?
Yeah, okay. So when COVID first started, I'm pretty sure that it was talked about them having like a 3-strike policy. Like if you get written up and told 3 times to put a mask on, that they would like possibly expel you from school. No, they never did that, but I'm pretty sure that's the policy they wanted to follow, but nobody ever took it that extreme. I got told plenty of times, hey, put a mask on. Hey, pull your mask up. Probably like once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
But there weren't any students that just openly defied, right? And just like sat in class with no mask on?
No, I never saw any of that. But you'd be surprised, though. Like just sitting by myself outside on like a patio or something.
Someone would say something outside.
So you just the desk stares I would get. Like if I just had my mask like on my chin and like.
Well, Davey got in trouble a bunch at basketball games.
I'd imagine they'd enforce it there a lot.
Do you think it'd be different now though, or it's just gonna be the same people, right? I mean, surely, I have lots of people I know personally, friends of mine who. For various reasons, we're very, very, I'll just say more concerned about COVID before the vaccine than I was, which is 100% fine. I mean, it's great. We should all have a different, you know, it's not a problem at all. Now, a lot of those, I'd say the majority of those people, maybe almost all of them, I mean, I heard from one that was probably the most concerned the other day talking about getting together and was like, well, you know, I'm vaccinated, so I'm good. Like, so there's got to be kind of a middle section of people that would have been all about the mask when it was still new and there was no vaccine, who are now like, I'm vaccinated, I'm good. Like I believe in the vaccine. I believe that I'm as protected as I can be. I'm not going to wear a mask the rest of my life, so I might as well just risk it at this point. I mean, so there's going to be the people that didn't want to wear a mask first time. They're obviously not going to wear a mask now. There's going to be some spectrum of people that were fine with the mask the first time but aren't going to be fine this time, then it's going to go all the way to the people that are just, you know, scared of everything and just, or I guess they're going to wear a mask the rest of their life if they can't handle it.
So, obviously, they've sold all the tickets. They're going full capacity. They're going to go mask?
They're going to mask in the stadium?
You think so?
That's a That's a good question.
I mean, if it's a, again, I know it's outside, but it's also, you know, tight quarters. I mean, at this point, is there any way they drop capacity after selling?
I don't think they can.
Do they just do like a random draw and say, like, we're going 50% and you get to do these games and you get to do these games?
I guess
and
they could stop selling, stop selling tickets and then try and like reshuffle some people, but I don't think that's spread out very much. I don't think that's spread out the stadium very much.
I can't remember. How many did you say they'd sold season ticket wise? 50-something thousand?
Yeah, and then they've sold a bunch of single games. They've been pushing the single games hard.
Right, right.
Four-game mini packs. And I mean, I would say for a big game, don't you think they've sold probably sold 80, 85,000 tickets?
I would think so, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think you're going to spread out 85,000 people.
Mm-mm. Not in a way that would be effective.
Yeah, I mean.
That's why I'm wondering if they're going to go.
Exercise and futility.
Max. Max only. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't.
Give me a lot of mad people.
I mean, the combination of new data since they made that, since people made those decisions out of the gate, of it doesn't impact, like, the younger you are, the safer you are, and that people are now vaccinated. How that hasn't changed some people's behavior is just baffling. Yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating to me.
Power's power.
Like, it's to the point, like, now, like, usually, like, when people ask me a question about COVID, if I don't know them, I'm just going to give them just the non-offensive, just simple, short answer. Now it's like, okay, how can I word this in a way to make them as mad as possible?
Man.
That's one strategy.
Really setting yourself up there for success.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. Final segment. Hour two. It'll be interesting what happens with sports.
It's going to happen. Spend my dollar. Park in a holler
neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Final segment. Hour number two. Little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, it's about to get real... It's about to get real variable about COVID restrictions, I think.
Yep.
State to state, area to area. I mean, DeSantis in Florida was just ranting yesterday about, you know, what's going to go down his state. In other places, obviously, it'll be very different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen data. I mean, I know I see all these tweets. Like, so just take this to a sports conversation. Like, Adam Schefter tweet that Mike Mayock has COVID. Of course, you know, he had been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's glad he got vaccinated because it would have made it worse. I mean, I guess so. Like,
maybe.
I don't know what sports is supposed to do. It, you know, the NFL wanted to roll with all this. Well, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to do, you know, you're good. Basically, their take was, if you're vaccinated, you're good. If you're unvaccinated, we're going to make your life hell so that you will get vaccinated and be in the good category.
Yes. But, and they can do that. You can't do that to college athletes.
Well, but the more and more people that are vaccinated and keep getting the virus, they're going to get more and more pressure, like organizations like the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to test vaccinated players or I don't know. I don't understand why we're testing anyone anymore unless they, like, have a symptom. I mean, we don't go around testing for other things like that when people aren't sick. So, or don't, you know, I mean, we get viruses all the time that our body, that we might not feel that great for a couple of days, but our body kind of fights it off. We don't go get a test. We don't not go to work.
Like Bledsoe syndrome.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what sports is. I don't know how sports is going to react to that sort of thing.
It'll probably be like it was last year. Like, it'll just be a little bit different everywhere, unless Greg Sankey and commissioners come in and say, "Well, here's the deal." But again, it's different when it's the NFL and they're paid, and they're employees, and that's what, you know, the NCAA has said is not the case here. These are amateur athletes, for the love of the game. I just, no idea. Have you seen this news of the NCAA Constitutional Convention?
No. What's up with that?
Do you see this, Dave?
I saw somebody mention that this was happening, but I have not done any research or have any idea as far as to what extent this is going to be occurring.
Apparently they announced last Friday, this is the NCAA, that they are holding a special constitutional convention in November, and that the purpose of the convention is to, quote, intended to propose dramatic changes to the NCAA's constitution, identifying the core principles that define college sports and proposing a new governance model that allows for quicker change without sacrificing broader values. Quote, this is not about tweaking the model we have now. This is about wholesale transformation so we can set a sustainable course for college sports for decades to come. We need to stay focused on the things that matter most, which is helping students be as successful as they can be as both students and athletes.
Good. So what this is, you look back, the NCAA did not plan very well after they lost that last Supreme Court case in 1984. They're actually trying to learn from their mistakes, and they realize that everything is changing. All these states are putting forth laws on the books as it relates to NIL. And as we've talked, they've said, yeah, you can do this with the NIL, but they really don't have anything on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And now they know that if they are going to survive, like this is survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we're going to have to completely change everything. And so that's what this convention is all about.
Sounds like they're about to just blow this thing up in November.
Yeah, I mean, they realize, good example, the Articles of Confederation, you know. Blew that up for the U.S. Constitution. It's the most common example people look to for when you hear about a constitution. So the NCAA realized their current constitution and bylaws just aren't going to be able to survive in today's climate, and they either need to, they're either going to have to change or their organization will cease to exist.
Wonder if this will help Tennessee as far as some potential punishment.
It will, yeah.
Has to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, I mean, all their focus is on this. Like, they're not going to care. What do they get? Let's look at it like this. What does the NCAA get by coming out and saying, all right, we're going to punish Tennessee for this? Like,
fear.
It's
from other schools, like, oh, well, it was pretty bad. Maybe we should stop. At least that's what they're thinking.
I don't even think they're thinking about us right now.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, if you're saying, like, in a nutshell, what would be the point? It's you punish one school to scare other schools from doing that. But right now, I mean, I agree with you. We are so low on the list.
It's like, well, it's even that. But if we're worried about or wanting to impose fear on other schools to do it, they're about to completely reshape how they operate as a business.
Yeah.
So there's no point in trying to what would technically be retroactively punishing Tennessee for wherever they're going with the new model. And I know they've said, you know, a lot of people brought up the example, well, they're not going to reinstate Reggie Bush's Heisman and allow his incredible season to be back on the books.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. It's like they're not going to go back and change that. But as we move forward, that wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
And so they realize, like, yeah, this issue is currently surrounding the University of Tennessee and how they handled things over the last couple of years, but they realize they're in survival mode. When you're in survival mode, you don't really think about the minor details and things. It's like, oh, yeah, we got to clean up this little loose end before we make that next change. They're not worried about it. That's why I've been saying don't self-impose. Just the longer this plays out, the better off Tennessee will be.
Yeah, just LSU, that basketball, that thing. Just let it ride.
Yeah.
And then they blow up, and they say, oh, the conferences are in control now, and Sankey's going to be like, oh, you're good.
Well, it's a fresh start. You
yeah,
know? Like
exactly.
That's yeah. So basically what Davey's saying. Like, if things change, then there's no need to go back. Like, who cares?
And
it's not like Tennessee's good either. It's not like Tennessee won three straight national championships.
We didn't rob all the NCAA of all this great success while we were cheating.
Yeah, like if Greg Sankey looked at it and was like, man, Tennessee won last three SEC championships and they didn't deserve it. They had such a huge advantage because they were running all this, you know, drug money around.
Right, right.
Then he'd have a need by the other schools to punish. Well, but no one cares that Tennessee cheated because they suck.
And the biggest thing that people might often overlooked, but the entire way in which the NCAA has operated, it's not been about fairness. It's been about optics.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to seem like they're in power. So that's why they've punished a lot of these people in the past. They know they're not in power anymore. Like we've just said, like they're having to completely shift their model. It's a complete overhaul. So if you're Tennessee, this was the best time for this to happen to you. And as you mentioned, Nate, as far as it falling onto the conference realizes if they punish us, it's just going to hurt the conference's opportunity to make money. And with the changes happening in the current times, in the current landscape of college athletics, there's no point for the powers that be to say, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this.
Tennessee, don't give us any money from bowls or whatever for 3 years
and
because
on,
you can't go to one.
And then on top of it, you look at how much money these conferences lost or these schools lost from like ticket sales and everything because of COVID.
Yeah.
They're not trying to punish so many even more from that standpoint. And I know the TV rights deals are allowing a lot of money to come in, but they're not going to try to cripple their own product. And so Sankey, unless like Tennessee was just to do something that's just completely out of left field, that was just like, I can't believe you were doing this, like criminal charges need to be filed. There's no reason to put any more burden on yourself as far as this is what we're going to do to punish ourselves. And because I don't see the powers that be trying to punish you to begin with, as long as you don't give them a reason to. So you just let it drag out, and eventually it'll, like everything else, if you let it go on long enough, it usually just fades away.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the biggest story, because in optics, it's like a great example. Ralph Northam. This is a political example. The Virginia governor.
Mm-hmm.
Posing KKK outfit, blackface, whatever. He said, I'm not going to resign. He's like, he realized if he could just let this go on long enough, people would stop complaining.
They'd forget about it and move on
and
to the
next
thing.
Like, and yeah, there are still a few people that say, hey, this and that. But he's fine. Whether it's right or wrong, like, he's not going to have to resign over that. He just said, I can weather the storm and I'll be fine. And he did it, and you know, that's the same thing Tennessee needs to do. I just pointed to that example because it's been a prominent one. Andrew Cuomo is another one. He's like, you know what? I have all these issues. I'm not resigning. It'll eventually fade away, and that's what's happening.
There you go.
Maybe we got caught at the right time. Who knows? It certainly didn't help us what we were doing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's
maybe best thing Pruitt ever did was get himself fired, and we walked scot-free.
Sounds good to me.
Take it.